The book of Revelation, the fifth chapter. It seems like a long time to me that I've been in the book of Revelation. We were away several weeks, and then we came back. It was Mother's Day, but I'm excited to get back into God's Word in the book of Revelation, chapter 5. And I would like to read that. And again, would you stand as we read today, honoring God's Word? And we're going to read, I'm going to like to read the entire chapter, Revelation chapter 5. Can't go wrong in reading the Word of God. Amen. Preaching may go off a little bit here and there. Can't go wrong in reading God's Word. So let's look at Revelation chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the book or look into it. And I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Behold the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals." And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came and he took it out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having each one a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy art thou to take the book and to break its seals, for thou wast slain and didst purchase for God with thy blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and thou hast made them to be a kingdom of priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." And I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all the things in them, I heard saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever." And the four living creatures kept saying, "Amen, amen, amen, amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. And all God's people said, "Amen." Amen. You may be seated. I'm getting excited already. Oh, folks, our next slide here. This book, with just a little introduction today, the book of Revelation can be rightly entitled the book about books. As I studied this through this book, interesting for me to discover that the word book appears in the book of Revelation more times than any other book in the New Testament. In fact, it appears, the word book appears in Revelation more times than any other book in the Bible except the book of 2 Kings. The book, the word book occurs no less than 30 times in the book of Revelation. There are several books that are mentioned. If you've read through lately, you remember that there's the book of life. There's the book of works. There's the Lamb's book of life. There's the little book that you find over in Revelation chapter 10 that John is, the angel says, "Take it and eat it." And then there's this book that we find here in Revelation chapter 5. You remember that as we studied in the book of Revelation, in chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, the church is caught up to heaven. And what we have in chapters 4 and 5 is a great worship service, a great worship service. We see in these chapters that we will be gathered with all the angels in heaven around the throne of God, and we'll be worshiping the triune God who dwells in unapproachable light. There's going to be an emerald rainbow around the throne. We'll worship God in the beauty of holiness. That begins in chapter 4. And it continues, this worship service continues in chapter 5. In verse 1, John sees, as they're worshiping, he's watching this worship service, he sees something in the right hand of God. Look at it, verse 1 of chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book. And probably we could put in there, because a book back at that time, a scroll. And this scroll was in the right hand of God. It had seven seals on it that sealed the scroll or sealed the book. Now, before we go on and get into the message today, I want to just try to, what in the world, what is this book? What is this book? The book in the right hand of God. Well, there's two, I think, most probable suggestions about this. Some believe that this scroll or this book is the title deed to planet Earth. Now, if you read commentaries like Ironside or Morris or Hal Lindsey, they say that this scroll is the title deed to planet Earth. And they go to Jeremiah chapter 32. You remember every symbol, listen folks, every symbol in the book of Revelation, you find someplace else explained in the Word of God. The more you know the Word of God, the easier it is to interpret the book of Revelation. Well, in Jeremiah 32, Jeremiah takes a scroll, and the scroll is a deed to some property, and he seals it up. And from that and other places in Scripture, some believe that this is a deed, a title deed of earth. Now, there's another suggestion, and that is that the scroll is the righteous judgments or the wrath of God. That this scroll holds the judgments that we see recorded specifically in Revelation chapter 6 through 9, the sealed judgments. Again, we have some precedent for that in Scripture. In Zechariah chapter 5, you remember in Zechariah there's a prophecy of the flying scroll. And what was on that scroll, it says in Scripture, it says that this is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. On that scroll in Zechariah, it described the judgment of God on sin, on the people on earth. Also in Ezekiel the prophet was given a scroll that was written within and without. And on that scroll was lamentations and mourning and woe and the judgments of God on the sins of the people. Now, these are the two suggestions that you'll find in most commentaries. I personally hold or think this last one is probably what I more lean toward. But it could be both. It could be the title deed of earth and also contain the judgments that God is going to pour out on this earth after Jesus raptures the church up during the tribulation time, the seal judgments. Now, with that background, I want to ask today four questions about worthiness, because you'll find that word worthy in this chapter, I think four or five times. Four questions on worthiness. And the first question is this: who is worthy to take the book, break the seals, and look on it and read and carry out what it says inside? Who is worthy? You know what it says here? If you look in verse 3, it tells us who's not worthy. He looks, they're looking around. Who's worthy? The strong angel with a loud voice cries out, who's worthy? Who's worthy? And in verse 3, you find out who's not worthy. No man, or better, no creature, no person in heaven is worthy. No man, no creature is worthy. Not the mighty angel that asked the question. Not the seraphim. Not the cherubim, not the archangels, not any of the angels in heaven, not the four living creatures. They look around heaven. No one's worthy to take the book and open the seals. So they can't find anybody in heaven, so they look down to earth. And it's more miserable down there. They don't find the answer down there either. They look all over earth. Is there anyone on earth worthy? No one on earth. So they look under the earth, down in Hades, and no one is worthy there. And so John looks around, and you know what he does? Verse 4, isn't it? Starts to weep. Isn't it? He's crying. Oh no, nobody's worthy. And he's weeping and weeping. And one of the 24 elders says, John, dry your eyes. Stop crying. Stop weeping. For there is one who is worthy. And we find out who is worthy. The Lion of Judah. The Lion of Judah. And that's reference, folks, to Genesis 49. Because in Genesis 49, it says this, that a scepter shall not depart out of Judah until Shiloh comes, until the Messiah Jesus comes, until King Jesus comes to earth. And I'll tell you what, Jesus was born of the line of Judah, and he is the king from the line of Judah. And he is the one, Jesus is the one who came to be the Messiah. And he is the root of David. The root of David. Hold your hand here. Turn to Revelation 22. Because interesting, it adds one thing to that. In Genesis 22, verse 16. And then make no doubt about it who this is. It says in Revelation 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the what? Offspring of David. Not only is Jesus the root of David, he's the offspring of David. Boy, that doesn't make sense, does it? Oh, yes, it does. Because he's the root of David because he created David. But he's the offspring of David because he was born in the line of David. God took on flesh and he was in the line of David. So he is the Lion of Judah, the root of David, and the offspring of David. He is worthy. And John says, praise God. And he turns to see the lion. And what does he see? The lamb. He turns to see a lion, and he sees a lamb. Isn't that interesting? Jesus is the lion lamb. Now, can you think of two animals that are more different than each other? The lion is, what's a lion like? Powerful, mighty, the king of the wood. By the way, anybody seen Narnia yet? You might know, back here, you might see that because in C.S. Lewis's, his books, Aslan, the lion, powerful, mighty. And what about a lamb? Gentle, meek. But Jesus combines them both. He's the lion lamb. And what a beautiful thing we see here. He is the lion that is a lamb. Christ is referred to as lamb 29 times in the book of Revelation. 29 times. This word for lamb means a little lamb. Gentle, meek, a willing sacrifice. Where is the lamb, by the way? He's in the midst of the throne. Right in the middle of the throne. Right in the middle of the four living creatures. Right in the middle of all the angels. Right in the middle of all the 24 elders. Right in the middle of the throne. Now, but I thought about that. You know what? When we get to heaven, we're going to see our saved loved ones that are up there. Amen? We're going to see them, folks. And that's going to be great. We're going to see people that were in this church that knew the Lord, that are up there. We're going to see, I'll tell you what, I'm going to see my brother one day when I get up to heaven. I'm going to see people in this church, and some of you have loved ones up there, you're going to see them, but I'm going to mention a couple from the past. Remember, some of you remember Virginia Kelly, prayer warrior. We're going to see Virginia. We're going to see Sally Kirkhart, Pastor, That was Pastor Nancy's neighbor, Sally Kirkhart. We're going to see Pastor Lacey up there. I'll tell you, we're going to see these people, and I think there's going to be a great reunion. We're going to recognize each other up in heaven. I know that. And it's going to be a great reunion. But you know what? That's not going to be our center of attention. I'll tell you, we'll see them and we'll rejoice in them. But I'll tell you, you know where our focus is going to be? You know where our eyes are going to be? They're going to be on the throne and the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God, the Lion Lamb Jesus, He's the focus of heaven. He is what makes heaven heaven. He is one where we're going to focus our attention and our praise and our adoration and our affection. We'll love those that we see up there, but we're going to love Him. He's in the midst of the throne, in the midst of the throne. Oh, folks, what a day that's going to be when we see Jesus up there. What a day. But you know what? This Lamb, interesting. He says, I saw a lamb as if slain. As is slain. Slain. Here's a lamb, and yet he's slain. You know, there was a man in this church who asked me a question, and I've said this before, but I just keep on going back to it. He said, Pastor, is there anything man-made in heaven? I said, man, I don't know. He said, yes, there is. I said, well, what's that? He said, the nail prints of Jesus Christ. Nails, scars in his hand and in his feet and the gash in his side. Those are man-made and they're still in heaven. And he's right. I love the song, Crown Him with Many Crowns. That's one of my favorite. Crown him the Lord of love. Behold his hands and side. Rich wounds yet visible above in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bends his wondering eyes at mystery so bright. We're going to see the nail scars of our Savior. We're going to see him as a lamb, as if slain. But you know what? Look again, because something amazing. He's standing. You know what? A slain lamb, one thing they can't do. What's that?
Stand up.
You can't stand up. If when in the Old Testament they would slay a lamb, the lamb was on its side. Can't stand up. But this lamb is standing. And a slain lamb can't stand unless it's been what?
Resurrected.
This is the resurrected and glorified Lord Jesus Christ. And he sees him there, the lamb as though slain, but the lamb is standing. That's what the word resurrection in the New Testament means, right? Anastasia, to stand up, to be resurrected. This lamb, it's as though slain, but it's standing, it's resurrected, and it has seven horns, seven eyes, seven spirits. What in the world does that mean? Well, a horn in Scripture is a symbol of power. Seven is the number of what? Perfection, completion. He has perfect power. This lamb is omnipotent. Seven eyes, eyes in Scripture, seen or all-knowing. All-knowing. And it's perfect knowledge. He is what? Omniscient. Omniscient. He knows all, this lamb. Seven spirits that are all over the earth. You know what that is? That is omnipresence. I'll tell you, where can you go from the Spirit of the Lord? Where can you go from the Lord? If you go up to the top of Mount Everest, Jim, is he there? He's there. If you go up to down to the bottom of Mariana Trench, Ernie, is he there? He's there. If I go up to heaven, is he there? He's there. Is he, Bill, is he in hell?
Yes.
He's there. You can't create a place where God is not. This lamb is omnipotent, all-powerful. He is omniscient. He's all-knowing. This lamb is omnipresent. He's everywhere. Can a man hide himself in hiding places that I do not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill the heavens and the earth, declares the Lord? This lamb is worthy. It's worthy. This lamb, is Jesus Christ, is worthy. Worthy. Who is worthy to take? He is worthy. He is worthy. The Lion Lamb, Jesus Christ, is worthy. And in verse 7, he is the one who comes and takes the book. He comes and takes the book because he is worthy to take the book. He takes the book and is ready to break the seals, to open it up, to look on it, to read it. And in verse 7 it says, and he came and he took it out of the right hand of him who sits upon the throne. So who is worthy? The Lion Lamb. Jesus is worthy. Second question, why is he worthy? Why is he worthy? And there's two answers to that in the text. Number one, he is worthy because he is the creator. If you look back in Revelation 4, verse 11, it says, worthy art thou, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou didst create all things, and because of thy will or for thy pleasure, they are and were created. Do you know that? Everything has been created for the pleasure of God. Everything. All of us, we are created to bring God pleasure, to glorify and honor God. And he created everything that has been created. He is the creator of everything. And therefore, he's worthy. Second reason. Not only is he creator, but he's the redeemer. Verse 9 of chapter 5. He's the redeemer. In verse 9 it says, and they sang a new song, saying, worthy art thou to take the book and to break its seals, for thou wast slain and didst purchase for God with thy blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. He's worthy because he gave his own lifeblood to buy us, to redeem us. Agorazo, to buy us out of the marketplace of sin, never to put us up for sale again. He's worthy. He's redeemed us. Now, he is worthy to take the title deed of the world because he created the world. He redeemed the world. Man can't take the title deed. God created the world and gave man dominion over the world. Remember in the first chapter of Genesis? He gave man dominion over the whole world. And you know what man did? Man sold out. In chapter 3, he sold the title deed of the world to Satan. Satan, ever since that time, has been the god of this world. That's why the Bible says all the world lies in the hands of the evil one. When Jesus was tempted on earth, Satan said, look at all the glory of this world, all the power and glory of this world. It's mine. And I can give it to anybody I want to. And Jesus didn't say, Satan, that's a lie. It's not yours. It is his, because man sold out to Satan. But I'll tell you what, there's a day coming, folks, when Jesus Christ is going to come back and take the rightful authority of this planet, because he is worthy. He is creator. He is redeemer. No angel is worthy to judge sin of man, because none of them has ever walked in human flesh. No man is worthy to judge sin, because we've all sinned. But Jesus Christ is worthy. He died. He overcame sin and death and hell. He gave his blood, the blood of God, to redeem us. And he has done everything he can to do to save man. And if man rejects him, then he is worthy to come and judge man. Jesus is worthy. By the way, look at verse 9 again, because verse 9, I think, is one of the greatest missionary verses. Bob Simon, where are you? Yeah, it's one of the greatest missionary verses, brother, in Scripture. Because God, Jesus, has died and has redeemed, has purchased for God with his blood people from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. And all they need is for people to go out and tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he'll get his people from every tribe. And one day, they'll stand before the throne and worship God. And praise God for verse 10 also, because he has made us kings and priests. And one day, folks, those of us that are saved are going to reign with Christ on earth. Won't that be something? We are going to reign with Christ on earth. There's a kingdom coming. And we're going to be part of that kingdom. Jesus Christ is worthy. Why? Because he is the creator of all. Why? Because he's the redeemer. And look at the next one, next slide. What is the proper response now to his worthiness? What is the proper response to his worthiness? Well, folks, the proper response to his worthiness is worship, praise, singing, prayer, reverence. It's just to give him the glory with everything in our life, to give God glory. In verse 8 through 10, I'll tell you, what we have here in heaven is, at this point is a growing crescendo of worship. From this point on, the creatures in heaven, they don't even wait for him to open the book. They start worshiping God right away. He takes the scroll and they start worshiping. Verses 8 through 10, look there. The four living creatures and the 24 elders, they're singing a new song. But I want you to notice something, folks. It's a new song, but it has an old message. New song, old message. What are they singing about? You know what they're singing about? The blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. The cross. The sacrifice of Jesus. I'll tell you, many of the denominations today are taking all the songs about the blood and taking them out of the hymnals. We don't want to sing about the blood. That's slaughterhouse religion. We don't want to sing those songs. And they take them out. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to sing about the blood in heaven. I'll never forget, it's about 4 or 5 years ago. But it was in this church, and I preached a sermon entitled The Blood of the Lamb. And we had some people visiting that Sunday. And a man that was visiting came to me in the foyer afterwards, tears in his eyes. And he said this, "Pastor, thank you for preaching about the blood of Christ. I never hear a message like that in our church." He said, "In fact, we don't have a pastor now. And I'm on a pulpit committee. And I stood up just a week ago. And I said, we need a person. We need to get a pastor that'll preach about salvation and about the blood of Christ." And the chairman of that committee stood up and said, "Sit on. We don't want anybody like that." I'll tell you what, they don't want to hear about the blood. But I'll tell you what, when we get to heaven, we're going to be celebrating the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sins. Jesus. Oh, a new song, old message. And I'll tell you, best of all, I'm going to be in the choir. Don't get depressed. Amen. I'm going to have resurrection vocal cords, and I'm going to sing like Steve Green. Maybe better than that. I'll tell you what, it's going to be a great day, a great day. Though they start, the four living creatures, 24 elders, then they're joined in verses 11 and 12 by myriads and myriads of angels. Do you see it there, verse 11? And verse 12, it says, "There were all the living creatures and elders, and the number of them were myriads and myriads and thousands, 10,000 times 10,000, 100 million and thousands of more angels, innumerable hosts." I'll tell you what, some of you have gone to conferences where you get in a, maybe a stadium or get in a large church and you have all these Christians and you start singing. Isn't it wonderful? Some of you have been to Promise Keepers. And you just get in there with, 70,000 men, and you're singing, and it's just like, wow. Well, I'll tell you what. Can you imagine 100 million angels and the saints and the cherubim and seraphim and all the angelic hosts? Wow, what a worship service that's going to be, Lola. Woo! I'm going to tell you, that is going to be a day of great rejoicing. And they're saying, "Worthy." What are they doing? They have a sevenfold doxology. Do you see it there? They say in verse 12, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might, honor and glory and blessing." Sevenfold doxology. Well, we don't stop there, because they're joined in verse 13 by every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such that are in the sea, the righteous and the unrighteous will one day praise the Lamb. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. Jesus says, "Lord," to the glory of the Father. And they add a fourfold doxology. And they say, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever." Forever and ever. And the four living creatures down in verse 14, you know what they say? Amen. 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 You know what? It's biblical. It's biblical. Amen. So when people are saying amen, they're being biblical. They're being biblical. So don't get offended if people say amen, because that's biblical to say amen. When we seek God, amen, it's true. It's true. God's word's true. This is going to happen. Are you going to be there? Oh, wow, what a wonderful day that's going to be. Well, what's this all mean to us? What must our response be? What must our response to his worthiness be? And I want to share with you a threefold response. Threefold response. What does this mean to you and I? What does it mean? Jesus is worthy, folks, right now. And I don't want to wait to heaven to respond to his worthiness. We need to respond right now. How do you respond to Jesus' worthiness? Number one, we must receive him as Savior. We must receive him as Savior. He died. Listen, look, everybody look at me. He died for you. He died for you. I don't care who you are, what you've done. Jesus went to the cross and died for you. He shed his blood, the blood of God. The blood of God for you. Now, folks, let me ask, how can anyone resist that? How can anyone resist that? If he did that for me, he is worthy to be Savior of my life. He's worthy. He I don't know too many people that would die for me, but God did. The God-man Jesus died for me and for you. And you know, when people reject him, you know what they're saying? You know what they're saying? You're not worthy. You're not worthy. I want you to know he is worthy. He's worthy to be your Savior. And you know, we often ask the question, or people say, why should I accept Jesus Christ? And people say, well, so you don't go to hell. That's a good reason to accept Jesus. So you don't go to hell. Why should I accept Jesus? Some people peddle the gospel. They say, accept Jesus so you can have health and wealth and everything will be wonderful. Accept Jesus. Baloney. You know why you need to accept Jesus? One reason. He's worthy. Period. He's worthy. That's why people should accept Jesus. The first thing we need to do to honor his worthiness is accept him as our Savior. Have you done that? When the roll is called up yonder, will you be there? I'll tell you what, we need to respond and receive him. Today is the day of salvation. If you have not received him into your heart, open your heart up, know that he died for you, believe in him, and ask him in. He's worthy. Secondly, we must submit to him as Lord. And folks, this is big time today for the church. Because there are those who would say, well, I've received Jesus. Now I'm just going to live my life the way I want to live it. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. If that's an attitude that you have in your heart, you know what you need to do? Go back and repent of your repentance and get saved. Because when we receive Jesus to follow him. We receive Jesus and give our heart to him to live our lives for Jesus Christ. Yes. And he deserves that, folks. He's worthy for me to live my little measly little life for his glory. And you know, some people possess Christ, but he's not on the throne. We're still living our life. There's a part of my life. Yeah, I'll give you this part, Jesus, but I want to hold on to this part. You know, where was he in heaven? Where was the Lamb? In the midst. In the middle of the throne. And you know where he needs to be in our heart? On the throne. Why? Because he's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. So I have to ask you, is he on the throne? Have you ever dedicated your life and said, you know, I give over control to the Lord Jesus, totally. From now on, it's Christ Jesus. That's it. He's my life. I'm living for Christ. Getting stuff and all that kind of stuff that the world says is valuable means nothing. It doesn't. It really doesn't. And if you don't believe that, wait till the day you die. Then you'll believe that. We need to accept Him as our Savior. We need to submit to Him as our Lord. And certainly, number three, we need to worship Him as God. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the very God of very God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lion Lamb, who is worthy. And you know what worship is, folks? It's giving our best to God. It's becoming like a child. And just, it doesn't care what anybody else thinks. I'm going to worship my Jesus. Because He is worthy. The Lion of Judah, the Lamb of God, is worthy. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, wow, what a picture. What a picture, Lord, we have of what's going to go on in heaven. And Lord, I just kind of get excited when I think about that, Lord. When I just say that, the best is yet to come, it just seems so little. When I look at this picture, that just seems so trite, because it is going to be mind-blowing, Lord, what we will experience when we come to be with You. Lord, I pray that we would not wait to acknowledge Your worthiness. I pray right now that if there be anybody in this place that has never said an eternal yes to Jesus, has never really accepted Christ into their heart, oh Lord, show them Your worthiness, Lord, and help them now, give them faith to believe, help them to open their hearts up, Lord, and accept You. And Lord, I know I just got to give my life over to You again, Lord. I hope and pray everybody wants You in the center of their heart, because I'm not worthy, Lord. We're not worthy, Lord, but You are worthy for us to serve You and to live. And You've even told us that we can walk in a manner worthy of You and please You. Father, if there's someone here that maybe has gotten off a little off track and has been living for themselves and not for Jesus, help them to make You their Lord today. Come in and be on the throne, Jesus, of my heart. And Lord, I pray that every one of us have done our best today to worship You, because You are worthy. Just thank You for this great book of Revelation. Make it real to us, Lord. Help us to live it. In Jesus' name, amen.